reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the 17th Sunday after Pentecost is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 11, beginning at the 18th verse and following, and can be found on page 815 in your pew Bibles. The Lord made it known to me, and I knew. Then you showed me their deeds, but I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not know it was against me. They devised schemes, saying, "Let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more." But, O Lord of hosts, who judges righteously, who tests the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you have I committed my cause. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle today comes from the book of James, chapters 3 and 4, beginning at the 13th verse in chapter 3, and can be found on page 1298 in your pew Bibles. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his work in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterers, adulterous people, do you not know that friendship from the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world, make himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scriptures say, "He yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives more grace." Therefore, it says, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise out of respect for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter, beginning at the 30th verse and following, and can be found on page 1081 in your pew Bibles.
To you, O Lord.
The disciples went on from there and passed through Galilee, and Jesus did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand the saying and were afraid to ask him. And they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your epistle lesson for today, but also these words from the Gospel of St. Luke. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And then from our epistle lesson for today, "You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions." This is our text. In its simplest form, a prayer is simply talking to God. And in our culture, even though church attendance for the last 30, 40 years as a percent of the population has been falling, most Americans, roughly 95%, I believe, still say they're religious. And when you ask them, well, you know, what proof, if you will, do you offer that you're religious? The answer they give is, well, I pray all the time. But while prayer is simply talking to God, as we learned from that first quotation in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it nevertheless is something that needs to be taught. That prayer we pray all the time, the Lord's Prayer, was taught by our Lord to be a model of the kinds of things we need to ask from God and also the kinds of things that we can expect from Him. We address God, for instance, in that prayer as our Father who art in heaven. Now that address is so familiar to you, it may not seem strange at all, but to the Jews of Jesus' day, that was being a little bit too familiar with God. If you talk to Muslims, they never address God with that kind of tender and loving terminology. God is far too magnificent, far too, if you want to use a fancy word, transcendent and above things, that we would call Him the same title that we use for our earthly parents. Just to address God as Father, you need to be taught. And you need to be taught the kinds of things that you ask from a God, the true and only God who has revealed Himself in Jesus Christ, and be taught what to expect from Him. By way of example, you know, if you were going to address a prayer to Satan, if you were going to call the devil your God, which I do not recommend, but if you did that and you prayed this prayer to the devil, "Mr. Devil, I've got somebody who was really mean to me this last week. I don't like him. I'd like you to give me some great ideas as to how I might get revenge and make their life miserable." The devil would certainly be happy to put ideas into your head that you could accomplish that. And a lot of people think thoughts like that, maybe not addressing them to the devil. But if you're to pray that prayer to our Father who art in heaven, you're not going to get a single answer ever from Him as to how you might get vengeance upon that person you're so upset with. For you see, that's not what God is about. And how do we know that? We know that only by knowing Jesus Christ and through Him how important reconciliation is to our Father, who, when we were His enemies, when we had rebelled against Him and chosen sin, still loved us so much that He sent His only Son into this world. For His enemies, God was willing to let His Son be crucified, put to death in a horrible way to pay for the things that we had done wrong. Just that some of us might change in how we think about Him and want to be His children and want to call Him our Father who art in heaven. God wants us to be reconciled. And it is that type of prayer that He answers. And if you don't know God through Jesus, you don't know what kind of things He wants to do for you. He's not about making you wealthy and glorious in this life. And if you're asking Him for those things to help you achieve those kinds of goals, you're not going to get what you ask for. Thus, St. James in our epistle lesson, "You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and obtain, cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passion." You know, because Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins, when God leaves us in this world, it's not because He wants to punish us longer. He doesn't let us stay in a world of suffering and pain because, well, you got a little bit left to pay for. He leaves us in this world for a purpose. And it's not for our sakes. It's for the sake of others. And so when you're praying to God with regard to the things that are going on in your life, one of the things He wants you to be asking about is, Lord, what can I do? How can this event in my life, be it a blessing, as the world would define it, or pain and trouble, as the world defined it, be used by you to bring blessings to others? And you know, God can be using you in virtually every situation in life. Even when you're flat on your back, lying on a hospital bed. I remember years ago visiting one of my members in a former congregation in church. For a long time, she'd been one of my shut-ins. Excuse me, in the hospital. She'd been one of my shut-ins. Her health was failing. She had had some surgery for cancer. And she was in the hospital for quite some time. And on one of my visits up there, she said, Pastor, you know, could you bring me a copy of the Portals of Prayer next time you come? And I said, sure, I'll be happy to do that. Next visit up there, I had a copy of the Portals of Prayer, gave it to her. The next time I went up and visited her, she said, as we were visiting together, she said, you know, I've been reading my Portals of Prayer. Well, actually, I haven't been reading them. I could read them. But there's this nurse that down the way that I've been working on. I tell her I can't read. Okay, she lied a little bit. But she doesn't have a church, and I get her to read them to me, and I think it's making a difference. 80-plus years old. Flat on her back in a hospital bed. But she could see the Lord had a purpose in that, and it wasn't for her. It was for someone else. When we pray, we're praying to a God who doesn't think about Himself. A God who asks His own Son to go and die for people who have rejected Him and His love. He will take care of us. And in that model prayer we pray, God does tell us to ask Him for the things we need daily. Give us this day our daily bread. But know what the other things are in that prayer. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Note how little. When Jesus teaches us that model prayer, how little it has to do with the earthly things we need, because God doesn't want you worrying about that. That's His problem. He wants us focused for the days that He gives us here, even when we're flat on our backs in a hospital bed following surgery, with the prospects of our earthly life not continuing much longer. He wants us to know He's got a reason for us being here. And my friends, when most people pray, that's not how they're thinking. God willing, we have learned to think that way, at least on occasion. But when you hear others saying, oh yeah, I pray all the time, you can probably bet that that's not the kind of thinking that's guiding their prayer, because no one's taught them. God has put you and me here for that very purpose. To teach others how to pray. To teach them to know God in His full grace and mercy revealed in Jesus Christ. To understand our eternal hope, but also to understand why we're not there yet. To understand the plans and the purposes of God and how He wants to use us each and every day that we live on this earth. God, help us to pray rightly, so that when we ask, we do receive, because we're asking the right questions and the right God. God, also help us to teach others to pray, that they might learn what to ask for and who to ask it from. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.